old electronics are filling up landfills. That is, if they're not already stuffing your desk drawers. The EPA estimates only 25% of dead electronics by weight gets recycled. And as the largest consumer of electronics, the federal government can set an example for how to do better. Now, the guidelines for e-recycling issued by the General Services Administration is about to become regulation. Kevin Campshire is Deputy Senior Sustainability Officer at GSA. He joins us now to tell us more. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
All right, so give us an idea of the scope of dead electronics that the government has to dispose of every year, every month.
Well, you know, it's the two things about that scope. It's big, and we don't know precisely how much it is because we don't have any central repository for the entire federal government of these purchases. So we have a sense of the scope as being significant, and one of the things that regulation provides for us is the ability to collect that information and make better management decisions from it.
And so right now, as far as you know, how do agencies typically get rid of their old electronics, and when do they get rid of it in terms of how old the electronics are?
Well, every agency has its own policies, and clearly servers have a different lifespan than laptops have a different lifespan than desktops. Typically, I think, you know, 4, 5, 6 years is about the lifespan of any good desktop computer. Our policies already encourage agencies to recycle those electronics through either reusing within the federal government for less stressful uses, transferring to public and private schools, donation to schools through public sale, and you know only after we've exhausted all the possibilities for reusing these devices do we actually turn them into pure waste.
And do you have any idea about how many end up in landfills? I'm just curious how it compares with that 25% for the overall public.
That's, again, a statistic that we wish we had, but we don't have. We think many, many fewer. We haven't in GSA, for example, sent any to landfills in over 5 years. So there are some programs within the federal government that are designed specifically for highly secure computers that are actually have to be destroyed to make sure that nothing leaks out, and they may be ending up in a very specially designed landfills today, but we'd like to change that.
I mean, 15 years ago, even longer ago, schools and you know different people wanted used electronics, but that seems to be an avenue that's more and more closed off because of how cheap new stuff is and because of how quickly it becomes obsolete. So it sounds like recycling is the growing wave of the future. Is that a fair statement?
No, actually, our program for donation to schools is growing. We find that the speed of technological change in electronics is such that even though they're old from the government's point of view, they're still perfectly usable for sort of a lower stress environment of a school where people are really learning how to use computers for the first time and not stressing them out with a highly complex program. So that program is actually growing, not shrinking.
And does the government have any idea, though, about after, when all is said and done, and that second user has had their share at the computer, whether it then ends up in a landfill?
We don't. What we are encouraging people to do, and we've provided this information, is how to get these devices to certified recyclers so that they don't end up in landfills and so they don't end up in Africa with children sort of pawing through for the precious metals that are actually inside them.
And so when a computer is recycled, say an institutional computer where there might be volume at a time, does the recycler pay the government for the computer, or do you pay the recycler to take it away?
Typically, it's neither one nor the other. It's a very low-margin business, but there's enough in there so that you can make a profit from a machine that you get for free. We haven't found any instances where we are actually being paid for it, but there's enough money in the program so that you can actually have a recycler, have a profitable business as long as they're getting the machines for free. And it's then you eliminate all the disposal costs and the recycler pays for the transportation costs. The U.S. Postal Service, for example, just created a program where government agencies that sign up for it can just put their stuff in a box, goes directly to a recycler. They don't even have to pay for the postage. The recycler reimburses the Postal Service, and so they make a little bit of money on it, and it takes a burden off of the agency, and it works pretty well.
And should you be able to get some kind of a certification from the recycler that the computer...
Yeah, you get the certification from the recycler that it's been properly destroyed. Obviously, the agency is responsible for wiping it when it goes out, but then it's rewiped again by this by the recycler so that none of the information can even, in the remotest possibility, be accidentally accessed.
We're speaking with Kevin Campshire. He is Deputy Senior Sustainability Officer at the General Services Administration. So it sounds like your new rule, the proposal, builds upon what you've been telling agencies for a while now. What sort of feedback have you been getting on that guidance, and what challenges do agencies tell you they have when they're trying to comply with it?
The feedback on the guidance has been generally positive. Of course, the rule is out in its proposed state, so we can get formal comments from people after having tried this program out. The Postal Service program is increasing in scope and the number of agencies participating in it, so that's clearly showing that it's possible to do. One of the comments that we've gotten is actually a very positive thing. Many agencies, including GSA, have started writing contracts with their suppliers to take back the electronics at the end of their life and then recycle them themselves, harvesting for reusable parts and putting them back together. That, of course, decreases even further any landfill possibilities because, again, these take-back provisions are motivated by the fact that the rare earths in particular have a greater and greater value in the modern world.
And, of course, they're hard to get because a lot of them come from China, too.
Yes.
So people want a domestic source. And so, and of course, a lot of new rules have to pass muster with the Office of Management and Budget. Are they pretty much on board with you on this one?
Well, yes. I mean, the rules don't get out unless they're reviewed by the Office of Management and Budget, and of course the final rule is approved by the Office of Management and Budget. And we have had an interagency committee that's run by the Council of Environmental Quality that has been working on this. So this rule fairly much represents the consensus of what people in the federal government think we ought to do. And obviously, we may discover something in this formal process, but we hope that the rule will look pretty much like it does today.
And in an agency, who are the people who play a role in sort of the disposing of the electronics? Because when you're talking about computers, I imagine it's one thing. But when people have smartphones and other sorts of smaller devices, personally, I'm just wondering if the individual employee ever has to pay attention to this sort of thing.
Most agencies, and certainly GSA, have a pretty centralized that kind of control with the chief information officer. I know, for example, that all of the devices, it's very, very easy for an employee to make sure that they're properly disposed of. We have a place on the first floor. It's a walk-in. You can drop stuff off, whether it's the transformer. Clearly, the computers are tracked very, very carefully because they do have secure information on them, and even iPhones and cell phones and all of those sort of peripheral devices are all taken care of by the CIO, and that's typical in most agencies.
And so, which leads to my question of, is the number of devices, maybe not the weight, but the number of devices growing in the federal government because people do have...
I think that's clearly true. The number of devices are growing. They're going in two ways. I mean, for example, GSA has consolidated everything onto a laptop platform, so nobody has sort of one computer at work and one computer at home and one computer for travel. So we're actually reducing the total number of computers that way. But of course, the cell phones are going up in number. More and more people have them. They're just in some cases, they are the sole means of communication. I mean, I had to stay at home in order to get a landline. We don't have any in our building.
Well, and as somebody who is, you work on sustainability, this is what you do. What would you like companies, I mean, agencies to do in order to balance this need for the latest technology with the fact that the less technology you have, the less likely it's going to end up in a place where it's hurting the environment? I mean, where's the right balance, and what do you advise agencies to do?
I think fundamentally you support the mission of the agency, and then we figure out the best way to deal with those right decisions. And certainly there are plenty of opportunities for both reuse within the federal government, reuse with schools, reuse with other private sector entities who may not need the latest and greatest, and then we have two firms in this country that are the two certifying, not firms, but two certifying bodies in this country that make sure that the recycling is done in a third-party certified way so that nothing ends up in the wrong place or in the landfill. So we've got lots of options in this country, and I mentioned the Postal Service program. So there's, I think it's providing those options is what we need to do, and remember that these devices are how we get things done in the federal government and private sector, both.
So you don't find yourself having conversations with some people saying, do you really need that desktop and the laptop both?
Actually, what we have conversations most about is, do you really need that printer when there's one 20 feet away? I'll give you one great example. When we really got serious about this in GSA, in our headquarters, we had to move into swing space because we were doing the renovation. We collected up all the printers in the building, and we went from 1,400 printers down to about 200.
Wow, and if you could get them all to use the same cartridge, then you could really save some inventory.
And, yeah, we've done that too. We've centralized on, you know, a couple of different cartridges, but it's way more than 1,400. It lowers the maintenance costs. It increases the effectiveness. It allows the CIO to make sure that they're always set for double-sided printing. We can make sure that they always shut down at a reasonable hour and that they don't sit there live in standby when they don't need to be. And of course, you can, with fewer computers that are, I mean, fewer devices like the printers that are better managed, you not only lower your maintenance costs, but you improve the quality of the product that's coming out of them.
And just real quickly, do you ever still come across tube television sets in the government that somebody's got to get rid of from some conference room somewhere?
You know, that's becoming rarer and rarer. Two things are true about those tubes. They use three times as much energy as flat screens. So from a pure energy point of view, we've been pushing to replace them as quickly as possible. Even more important, the flat screen is so much easier on the eyes that you actually get a much better productivity. So we don't, 5 years ago, the answer would have been yes, but those are much more valuable to the recyclers than the modern machines, but they're pretty rare in the federal government today.
Yeah, turn them on, you still see howdy doody. Kevin Kapscher is Deputy Senior Sustainability Officer at the General Services Administration. As always, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.